Is my eternity secure? The judgment seat of Christ. Who hath bewitched you? As in the days of Jeremiah. All of these series that the pastor has done are really about one topic, and it's false doctrine. Is my eternity secure is probably the oldest of the series that I have mentioned. But I was thinking about that last week. Stephen and I, we started going through Is My Eternity Secure again. And because when Pastor did it the first time, Stephen, he listened, but he didn't take notes. And so he said, I want to take some notes this time, Dad. And I said, I'd be glad to listen to it with you. So that's what we're doing. We're going back through Is My Eternity Secure. And I got to thinking about what we are seeing today in our country and other countries across the world, how there are people, men and women of the cloth, who are starting to teach things that are different than what we find in Scripture. And it may appear that all of these things that they are teaching is new, is Johnny come lately, and that we hadn't heard much about it in the past. And some of that is true. Turn to John chapter 13, John chapter 16. Because, you know, we now hear about people preaching that, you know, when you sin, you don't have to repent anymore because it's all by grace. And things along those lines, okay? In John chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What we are seeing today coming from the pulpits in a lot of the churches today, God told us it was coming. It was coming. Okay? I didn't have a chance to go back because I don't have all of them. But I went back and looked at some of the prophecies, and I just typed in the word deception or typed in the word deceived, and this came up. I want to read something to you, and then we're going to get more deeply into the message. This prophecy is from 2008. This is 2014, 6 years ago, okay? For I have said in my word, be not deceived, and I have warned you that there would be many who would come in my name. Notice that I said that they would come in my name. They will declare my name to you, however, they're walking in deception. They are so deceived that they do not even realize that they're walking in deception. And I warned you that there would be accompanying false signs and wonders which would take place in their ministry. Gold dust, feathers, you know, things like that. We're hearing all of those sort of things. Know this, you have entered into the very beginning stages of this taking place in your midst. So this is 2008. It says, you have entered into the very beginning stages. Okay? For there are many voices of deception that are rising up with increasing intensity. And they're and notice the word that the Holy Spirit used. They're drifting. Further and further away from the truth that I have established in my word. So they're drifting. If this is truth, if this represents truth, they're drifting farther and farther away from truth. And if you keep drifting farther and farther away from truth, pretty soon you're going to drift yourself all the way in to eternal damnation. This one that I read out of was from January of 2008. It seemed like in 2008, the Holy Spirit was doing a rush job in terms of talking about deception, because he talked about it in January, he talked about it in April, he talked about it in May, he talked about it in June, he talked about it again in June. He talked about it a third time in June. He talked about it in August of 2008. So he was really grabbing our attention to let us know, I am doing my job in telling you what is coming. Get prepared for it. If you ever take the time to read the prophecies or the words that have come forth out of this church, you're going to see that roughly 85% of those words have to do with worship. And then the other 25%, 20% primarily deal with wrong doctrine. The reason that happens is because worship is one of the things that indoctrinates, no, that's not the word. What's the word I'm looking for? Inoculates us from deception. That's why God focuses on worship so much. Because the more we worship, the more we are more sensitive to the ear of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm going to read one more little thing and then we're going to get into the message. Well, we're already into the message. This one is called Guard Yourselves Against the Lies. For I say unto you this day, a new assault has been launched. And he just said that again, that you are entering into a beginning stages against the body of Christ. This has been made possible because Satan has found doors which he can enter. Okay? He's found doors that he can enter. These doors are the deceived preachers that are in the land. Deceived preachers that are in the land. If you notice, when Pastor did the judgments, the as in the days of Jeremiah, he got to a point in the series where he mentioned some names. And it's simply because if you keep giving people an ear more than you are giving the Holy Spirit your ears, you could just walk away from the salvation that you have. And that is what the Lord is trying to warn us about. And so I got to thinking about all of that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, when the disciples asked him, what would be the sign of thy coming? And the first thing he said is, let no man deceive you. So that will be the sign of his coming by it, when deception increases in the land. Now we know that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be the second time he comes. Because the first time he came was when he was born. Okay? There is a reason that Jesus said, take heed lest let no man deceive you. There is a reason why he said that. And we're going to find that reason back in Genesis. Before we go there, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, well, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't know where I got that from. And I was right, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Yeah, I know it may seem like I didn't prepare these notes, but I did. I really actually have a copy of them right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 3. Well, verse 1. Would to God, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. Judas laughing. He said, pretty soon he's going to tell us to go back to chapter 1. In verse 1. Would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, verse 3, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's not by accident that Paul says that as the serpent beguiled Eve. He's making a point here He's making a point. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The corruption that he's talking about is that your mind is now thinking on the same page as God is thinking, but it's going to get corrupted if you stay on the path that you're on, that you're going to start thinking opposite of what God is thinking, of what God wants you to think. Okay? That's what he's talking about. How do you know that, Brother Barry? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to see this loud and clear. In Genesis chapter 3, hold your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 2. And look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, it talks about that the things of this world are a pattern of the things that you see in heaven. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Okay? In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 15, it talks about how Satan was in the garden. No, Satan was in the Eden of God. Okay? So what we're seeing here, the Garden of Eden here on earth is a replica of the guard of the Eden of God from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Okay? Remember, do you not understand why we get phrases like heaven on earth? Mm-hmm. Because God designed Eden to be just like the Eden that he had in heaven. Okay? That is important to remember. Okay? Verse 8. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You see this little thing behind the word food? It's a semicolon. Okay? Then you see the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. So you see that there, what the word of God says, that out of the ground, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? What tree is in the midst of the garden? For those of you who are listening by CD, there are people here tonight. Okay? So what tree is in the midst of the garden? Okay, remember that. The tree of life is in the midst of the garden. Okay? Go down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, scripture says that the same thing that's being described in verse 15 was the job that Lucifer, the anointed cherub, had in Ezekiel. The same job. Okay? He was the anointed cherub that covered. Okay? And that's what Adam was supposed to do in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. I want you to hear what the Bible says. Okay? Every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. What does that tell us? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was originally not part of the garden. Do you see this? Let me read it again. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. every tree. That word every means every. Okay? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay? We're going to get to it later. But when you read in Revelations chapter, I think it's chapter 2. I got some notes here somewhere. Yeah, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It talks about the tree of life in the garden. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. There is no mention anywhere of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So we see here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, God says you can eat of every tree of the garden. So if you can eat of every tree of the garden, then he says of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. What is he saying? That was originally not part of my garden. You see that? That's important. That's important. Okay? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Okay? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. I think it's so interesting that God used a serpent as a means of characterizing the work of the enemy. Okay? He uses a serpent. Now, we know that Satan is not a serpent crawling around on the ground and all this kind of stuff. It's symbolism. Okay? Symbolism. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, now I want you to see what he says. Hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden? Has God said, you can't do that? Notice how he personalizes it. He says, has God said, you, Eve, cannot eat of every tree? You can eat of every tree. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. What did God say? What did he say? You can eat of every tree of the garden. Did he not say that? Chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9. Okay? You know what? There is so much in this chapter, in the Genesis, that we just kind of, we read it and we say, boy, that's a great story. And we forget that it's showing us something in all of this. Okay? Shall ye not eat of every tree of the garden? Let me tell you what Satan is doing here to Eve and what he will do to you. Eve, you heard what God said. But did you hear what God said and have the same meaning of what he said? Do you have that same meaning? Okay. God said you couldn't do this, but did you understand him the way he wanted you to understand him? Do you see that? Because, see, that's the way it's going to be for us, people. God has been very clear in his word about certain things. So it comes down to, do we understand this Bible the way God understands this Bible? That's the question. That is what he is doing in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He's trying to get Eve to find out, does she understand what God said back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, verses 15, 16 and 17? Do you understand what God said the way God understood it? That's the question. Okay? And see, we're going to find out in verse 2, she did not understand it the way God understood it. Okay? How many of you are parents? How many of you have given your children instructions? Okay? And you were very clear, you were very specific in what you told them to do. And how many of them didn't do it? They didn't understand what you said the way you understood what you said. Okay? We're going to see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. What is the problem with her response? The Bible says you can eat freely of every tree of the garden. The Bible is saying, they said, eat freely of every tree of the garden. Right there, Satan knew he had Eve. Because Eve did not understand what God said the way God understood what he said. Okay? See, Jesus is the great example of understanding what God said and living the way God wanted him to live, because he knew what God meant when he said the things that he said in his word. And you know why he knew it? Because he spent time with it. So many of us, we'll read the Bible, but we never spend enough time with our Father to find out what he meant when he said some of this stuff. Because, see, you can read the Bible, and the Bible is like an onion. Okay? It has layers. You can peel. You pray in tongues. You spend time with it. You peel back another layer. You peel back another layer. You peel back another layer. And so tonight we're peeling back a layer, because there are so many ways you can read this passage, but we're pulling back a layer tonight. Okay? Verse 3. Now this is still Eve. Eve says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. What tree is in the midst of the garden? The tree of life. Do you see this? Yes. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was not what God said. God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden. Then the Bible says, the tree of life also in the midst, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did Eve just do? She just said that God told us we could not eat of life. We could not eat of the tree that sustains life. That's what she says. Okay? I'm not going to dwell too much on a lot of this, but I'm going to hit it and run and let you all go back and meditate on some. So Eve said that God said we cannot eat of the tree of life, because notice, it didn't say trees in the mist. It said tree. T-R-E-E. Stop right there. Okay? So Eve said, we cannot eat of the tree of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says that once we are in heaven and living, spending eternity with him, we will have free access to the tree of life. Do you think that God's original intention was for us not to have free access to the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? No, it wasn't. Okay? Now notice what she says. Not only can we not eat of the tree of life, we can't touch it. And if we do, there's a good chance we're going to die. None of that is what God said. None of that is what God said. First of all, the tree is wrong. She's referring to the wrong tree. And then the second thing is that in referring to the wrong tree, the instructions that God gave about the tree of knowledge of good and evil was, don't eat it. Because if you eat it, you're dead. You're going to be a dead man walking if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And see, Eve made it a possibility, a maybe. How many of us, ladies and gentlemen, have taken God's word and maybe-ized it? Is that a word? Maybe-ized it? Because see, we like the maybes. We don't want someone to tell us, thus saith the Lord. We want to have some wiggle room. And see, wiggle room kills you. Okay? I want to make sure I'm not missing anything in my notes. Okay. She says in verse 3, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden we shall not eat. The tree that what you were not supposed to eat of was which tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You will not die. What was the doctrine? If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Satan says, let me give you Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, an altered gospel. You can eat of the tree and you will live. Okay? All of this is important. Satan has just given Eve a false doctrine. Okay? He is just leading her into deception. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, take heed lest any man deceive you. Okay? Verse 5. And this is Satan. And notice how Satan sets himself up as being able to speak for God. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Your eyes will be open. What would her eyes be open to? A doctrine that was different from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17. Okay? That's what her eyes would be open to, a wrong doctrine. Verse 6. And I want you to notice the words that are used in verse 6. And when the woman saw, okay? Now, let's be clear. At this point in time, Eve was just like us. She had the life and nature of God on the inside. So she had access to information about what was going on had she chosen to access it. So Eve is just like us at this point. But look what the Bible says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. So we're looking at, she's seeing things here. Okay? Now I want you to see this. And a tree to be desired. When did the desire come? After she saw. After she saw. After she saw it, she internalized it. It made sense to her. Okay? In verse 6. A tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her unto her husband. And I'm just going to hit this real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 says, Adam was not deceived. Okay? But look what verse 6 says. She gave also unto her husband, who was on his way to meet her, who was a couple of blocks down the street, who was on his cell phone, you know, checking the daily stock quotes. No, he was with her. Cindy, stand up, please. Charlie, stand up, please. Charlie is Adam. Cindy is Eve. I am the serpent. I am seducing Charlie's wife. No. And see, Charlie did the right thing. He said something. Mm-hmm. But what did Adam do? Adam let me do the worst I could and just stood there like Charlie is doing right now. He just stood there. And because he just stood there, all of humanity died that day. We didn't die because of because of Eve. We died because of Adam. Because Adam was the one who had the power and authority to stop it. And he didn't. Okay? I'm going to move on. But I want to read something to you. Remember, it said that she saw, it was pleasant to the eyes, it was something to be desired. Something the Lord gave me about soul stimulation. The enemy of the soul endeavors to rule us through our emotions, and the biggest way to affect the emotions is through the soul, what you think. If he can get us if he can get us focused on doing what feels right, or what doesn't feel right, or what makes sense, or what doesn't make sense, we're not focused on the Spirit. Emotions tilt our brains to want to be satisfied or relieved rather than quiet and peaceful. The Spirit wants us quiet and peaceful, and then we can deal with the issue that's unsettling our emotions. Soul stimulation keeps us focused on the realm of the natural and not the realm of the Spirit. What was the serpent doing with Eve? Getting her to focus on what was right there in front of her, okay, rather than the truth of God's word that would have been given to her, okay? There's a reason the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Genesis chapter 3 is an example, okay? Soul stimulation keeps us focused on the realm of the natural and not the realm of the Spirit. That's why we want to figure things out. That's why we can't stay in the prayer closet or confess the word until it comes to pass in our lives. We react to feelings rather than truth. God's word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17. Okay? Let's get back to Genesis and let's get on the stretch run here. How are we doing so far? Praise God. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. Make sure I stay with my notes, okay? The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, okay? God's life and God's nature was no longer part of them. When their eyes were open, they realized that we are no longer like God. Okay? But see, ladies and gentlemen, it was too late then. It was too late. When they made that decision and they found out too late that they are no longer like God, that means that they were no longer going to spend eternity with him. When we're in this life and we stand before God, if we have not made a decision to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are like Adam and Eve. It's too late. It is too late. Now, the advantage that Adam and Eve had on us is that they had an opportunity for a redeemer. Your only opportunity for a redeemer in this life is to accept Jesus while you are here. Okay? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. I want you to notice this. The Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord. Okay? Now let me ask you something. Remember when God came to Adam back in Genesis chapter 2 and he told Adam that he wanted to name him to name all the animals? Did it say anything about God coming, or was God just there? Think about that. God was just there. Adam was always in his presence. After Adam sins, ladies and gentlemen, he hears God. I want you to think about that. I'm going to let it marinate for just a minute. Because let me ask you something. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Is that not true? Do you have to hear him to know he's there, to get guidance, to get instructions? He's just there. Do you see what I'm saying to you? The only reason he now heard the voice of God because he was no longer like God. Let that sink in. It's going to hurt even more. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where art thou? What God was saying to Adam, you are no longer part of my family. Where art thou? You are no longer part of my family. Because see, before then, God was just there with him all the time. And now, he's got to ask him, where are you, Adam? And then Adam says in verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. Adam and Eve no longer had God's covering. And if you notice, what's the first thing that happens once they lost the life and nature of God? Fear set in. That's the first response that Adam had to God. He was afraid of him. He was afraid of him. Up until then, he was not afraid of him. But now he's afraid of God. Why? Because the God that he knew before his encounter with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God's voice if the Holy Spirit keeps doing this, we'll be here all night. John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? Why didn't Adam, he had to hear God's coming to him. Okay? Coming to him. Not calling him to him. My sheep hear my voice, and they will not go to a stranger. And that what John chapter 10 says, they will not go to a stranger. What did Adam do? He did not want to go to God. Why? God was a stranger. God was a stranger. And he said unto him, verse 11, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you not to eat? Yes, sir. I did. That's exactly what he did. He ate of the tree that God told him not to eat. And what tree was that? The tree of life? No. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the tree that was forbidden. Okay? See, I'm drilling this in because, see, the Bible is very specific in saying that the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Satan comes to Eve and asks her, has God said, you cannot eat of every tree in the midst of the garden? Okay? Shall you not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman says that we cannot eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. In verse 3. Okay? Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me to eat. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So, God, I have a free will. I can make my own decisions. But you know what? This woman that you gave me, she had a hold on me, God. I was powerless against her, God. She had her hooks in me, God. And I just had to have some of that apple, God. Because the woman you gave me, look at her. Who can say no? I couldn't, God. Okay. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? Do you know what he was really asking Eve? Do you realize, Eve, what you have done? Do you realize what you have done, Eve? Eve, I cannot undo this today. I'm going to have to find a way to bring a remedy into this situation. Do you realize what you have done? Verse 13. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, remember back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul said, as the serpent beguiled Eve, I fear. When the serpent beguiled Eve, what happened? Because Adam stood silent, mankind died spiritually. They no longer were part of God's family. What is Paul telling the Corinthians? If you continue down the path you're on, you are going to be out of the family. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Wrong doctrine, ladies and gentlemen, will lead you to the lake of fire. That's why I titled this Eternal Death Sounds So Good. Because, see, Eve, she was listening to it, and she bought it, and she died. And see, now, when we're sons and daughters of God, and we listen to the deception, we listen to the wrong doctrine, and we buy it over and over and over. Remember how the word says, you start drifting away, okay? And the Lord said unto the serpent, verse 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, in verse 15, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 15 is a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. Okay? Now, I want you to notice something, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, I made it a point to say that in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said, when the disciples asked Jesus what's going to be the sign of his coming, and he said, take heed that no man deceive you, and we know that the sign of his coming is going to be his second coming. Okay? What happened to make necessary his first coming? Again, there are folks in the room here. Deception. If Eve hadn't bought into Satan's lie, Jesus would not have needed to come. So the first time he shows up, the reason he has to show up the first time is because someone had been deceived. And he's saying, I'm coming back, but be careful, because the sign of my coming back is going to again be people being deceived. Do you see this? Jesus had to come because of deception, wrong doctrine. Because wrong doctrine had killed the human race. So Jesus had to come. Wrong doctrine will kill the human race again, and Jesus coming back. Now, I want you to notice something. Verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. I have a question for you. Do women have seed? Women do not have seed, ladies and gentlemen. Men have the seed. Okay? So a lot of people miss that. Because God tells Satan, there's going to be an issue between your seed and the seed of the woman. So he's letting Satan know, well, he's letting the serpent know that the person who's going to be coming as a result of the woman's seed is not going to have the same life and nature that the woman has right now. Praise God! Because where does the seed come from? The man. So when the Holy, when Gabriel approached Mary, and she said, he said that that thing, that holy thing, is going to be by the Holy Spirit. What was he telling Mary? That because of the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to be fathered because of his work. Not because of anything Joseph done, but because of his work. Because, see, a lot of people, you read the Bible and you get accustomed to reading it, but if you're not praying in the Holy Spirit, you miss some things. He's telling us way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the Savior that's going to be born is not going to come the way most people are born. Isn't that great? I just thought that was so neat. Now look at verse 14 again. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. What had he done? He had deceived Eve. He had given her wrong doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. That's all he did. I know it sounds like I'm belittling it, but I'm not. But all I'm telling you is, it wasn't like he did something that, you know, the mind can't grab a hold of. He simply fed her wrong doctrine. And God said, because you have fed her wrong doctrine, this is what's going to happen to you. Now imagine all of these ministers standing in the pulpits today who are feeding the flock wrong doctrine. What does that say to them? What does that say to them? If God was unhappy with Satan for feeding her wrong doctrine, you think he's happy that wrong doctrine is being spread right now? No, he's not. He's not. And all of those folks who are feeding the wrong doctrine, leading the people drifting away, when they stand on the day of judgment, they are going to be surprised. Because like Jesus said, but Lord, didn't we do this for you? Lord, didn't we do that for you? And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Now listen to me, people. The folks Jesus is talking about, he's going to say he never knew, it's not folks who were never born again. You can't, see, in order for Jesus to know you, you have to have been born again. You have to have been part of the family. But he's going to tell them, I never knew you. Oh, can you say weeping and gnashing of teeth? Because that is what you're going to hear. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're about done. I'll pay you when we get home. Okay, that was good. Oh. Satan deceived Eve, and God punished him to the max. Punished him to the max. So all of those who are preaching false doctrine, the message for you is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. God is going to punish you to the max. On verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now look what he says to Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. See, he gets on Adam because, as we know in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, Adam was not deceived. So Adam made a deliberate choice to rebel against God by agreeing with what was going on with his wife. So God held Adam responsible, and rightfully so, because Adam was the one who had the authority to take care of the situation. Remember back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God gave Adam the authority to guard and keep, to make it easy on himself bearer. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and keep it. That word keep means to guard, to be a fortress over the garden. You have that authority. You have that right. Okay? Because thou did not exercise the right that I gave you back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, because you let that thing in the garden and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded. I commanded. I didn't give you an option, Adam. I didn't give you any leeway on that, Adam. I commanded you not to eat of that tree. And you thumbed your nose up at me. You thumbed your nose up at me. And because you did that, Adam, you have a Redeemer who's on the way. He's coming. But you are not going to get away with this scot-free. You're going to pay a price. And because Adam did what he did, that's why we have the world we have today. Because of what Adam did. Thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, or cursed is the ground because of you. So before Adam sinned, the ground was not cursed. Okay? And because the ground is cursed, Adam, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the day of thy life. In other words, you're going to work your butt off to get out of the ground what would have come up freely had you not sinned, had you not rebelled against me. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. One more. I'll make this quick. Galatians chapter 1. Remember when Paul was talking to the Galatians? He says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel that you are so soon called to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him spend an eternity without God. Is that not what happened in Genesis chapter 3? They were going to spend an eternity without God. And we said before, verse 9, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him miss heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is Paul saying to those of us who stand in the pulpit and who name the name of Jesus, but we are really preaching another gospel? Let him be accursed. Let him miss heaven. Now, why was the Apostle Paul so hard? Because those in the pulpit who are preaching this garbage, who are preaching this wrong doctrine, who are preaching this eternal death that sounds so good, they're taking people away from their Father. So take care of them now so they won't take people away from their Father. That's what he's saying. If anyone comes to you preaching that garbage, I want them to die now. Let them be accursed. Let them miss heaven. Because they are trying to make you miss heaven. Okay? I want to read one more. And I'll make this quick. This one is called, they are sowing death into your life. Now this one, this word came out last March on the 17th. I don't know if, the Lord says, I don't know if this is somebody here or watching, but the Lord says you are listening to too many preachers you should not listen to. And they are sowing words of death into your life, and you don't realize it. Just like Eve, She did not realize she was being given death. You are being led astray, and the Lord wants to warn you. You are on a path right now that is going to take you to hell. Did you hear that? And you don't think that this is possible, but I said in my word that faith comes by hearing, and that hearing my word. Likewise, unbelief comes by hearing those things that are not of my word. And I say unto you, stop allowing death to be sown into your life. You are searing your conscience. All I can do is tell you what is happening, but I myself cannot stop it. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? God says you are searing your conscience. God says that you are on a path to hell. God says, I cannot stop that. Did you hear it? What does that say for all those folks who say God is in control? God says, I cannot stop that. You must be the one to stop listening to those preachers. For there was a check in your spirit when you began listening, but you ignored it. And I say unto you, get away from them now. Get away from them now. Stop listening to those preachers who are not sowing life into your life. Remember how I warned in my word that a little leaveneth the whole lump. You have not guarded your heart. You have not been diligent to protect yourself, and you have opened yourself up to much deception. I say this because I love you and because I know you haven't gone too far yet. Excuse me. You haven't gone too far yet, but you are drifting. Truth, you are drifting. You are drifting. But I am warning you, you are headed down a very wrong path. Stop. Turn around. Come back to me. Embrace those things of my word, which will take you deeper into your fellowship with me. Praise God. Sometimes we hear messages, and because we go to this church, and for those of you listening and watching, you may attend church who are on a similar path as this one. We hear the word that is spoken, but we don't hear the word that is spoken. And see, when God makes it a point to spend an entire series, because the judgment seat of Christ came out in 2011, the days of Jeremiah was this year, Who Hath Bewitched You came out in 2008. So all of those series have to do with false doctrine, wrong doctrine. And see, God is making a point. God is making a point. And see, sometimes we don't always see it because we go here. Continue to pray in the Spirit. Continue to pray in the Spirit. Stay in the prayer closet. And everything you've heard Barry say tonight, don't believe it because Barry said it. If there was a check in your spirit, find out why. And go to the Holy Spirit. Let him tell you. Let him confirm the things that I'm saying. Because that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. Because when you do that, then you are not going to fall to the deception that is so prevalent today. Our Father is very concerned about his church. He's very concerned about his church. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about his church. Because his church is really flocking off after those things that appear to make the walk easier, that makes the walk more palatable, that makes the walk easier to deal with. That's what the church wants. The church doesn't want a walk that requires sacrifice. The church does not want a walk that requires making decisions to do things that you would rather not do, but God wants you to do. The church doesn't want a walk like that. The church wants a walk that says, I can do the things I want to do, and God is going to be okay with it. I can make decisions I want to make. God is going to be okay with it. I got news for you people. Adam and Eve made a decision that they thought God was going to be okay with. They died. They died. And there are a lot of us in the body of Christ. Let me edit that. There are a lot of folks in the body of Christ who think that they can make decisions and everything is going to work out in the end. After all, if God's in control, it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right, people. Stephen and I were talking, and I can't remember whether yesterday or this morning before he went to work. And we were talking about being surprised when we get to heaven that there's not going to be the humongous numbers that you would think are going to be in heaven, because they're getting taken off the track here. They're being deceived here. And see, God wants every person to come to a knowledge of the truth and to live a life that's more than abundant. Abundant how? Abundant in His Spirit. Abundant winning souls for the kingdom. But see, we now live in a church that it's about us. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. It's about us and about what we want to do and what is important to us. Jesus said, "My meat is due to the meat of the Him that sent me." Okay? My prayer tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you are not doing the meat that the Father wants done, that tonight is the last night that you are not doing that. Tonight is the night that you're going to pick up the meat that the Father wants you to do. And when you do that, my oh my, your life is going to change. You're going to have a joy unspeakable. You're going to have a peace that you've never known, because you are doing what your Father wants you to do.